Hello, I'm Barnaby Jeans, a senior technology advisor at Microsoft Canada. Welcome to the IT Manager podcast. This is a monthly audio information series designed to provide a fresh perspective on the latest IT trends and insight on how you can leverage technology to further drive business value. For supplementary resources, case studies, and other podcasts in this series, please visit microsoft.ca/IT podcast. In the new world of work, Canadian businesses often rely on IT to securely access and share business information from any location and to keep employees, customers, and partners connected. An unreliable computing platform can lead to delays that can frustrate employees, customers, as well as partners. The question then is, are today's IT platforms meeting the reliability needs of the business? Joining me in the studio are Jeffrey Nevin, Director of Operations from Homestead Christian Care, John Crickey from Crickey Computer Services, who will be discussing creating a more reliable IT environment for Homestead. And to discuss the evolution of IT reliability, we have Warren Chow, analyst from Strategic Council. Thank you for joining us today, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
My first question is for Warren. How has IT reliability evolved over the past 10 years, and are we there yet?
Well, you know, comparing 2007 to 97 is a bit of a quantum leap that encompasses everything from, well, let's say, networking to the internet to PCs to IT processes. If we thought IT was mission critical 10 years ago, I think that it's gone way beyond that now. The entire context of IT reliability is changing from how reliable or level of reliability to always on, never off. And that's not just semantics. You can see that in the efforts that Microsoft and other IT vendors are pouring into the whole area of manageability, reliability, and dependability. I think that is definitely one of the biggest R&D areas in IT right now. Today, if you take an IT professional, that IT professional is going to consider an IT system to be reliable if it runs without interruption, and that no interruption includes no interruption for maintenance or upgrades, if it requires minimal maintenance to achieve that state of no interruption, and if it enables employees to get to and use the resources they need in a timely manner, again, without interruption. Now, if you're an end user, thinking about your personal IT work environment, reliability means that your computer works, your network access works, your applications work, and your body of work is always going to be accessible to you. So, for example, I don't think that anyone is going to argue that Windows Server 2003 isn't more reliable than Windows 2000, and I don't think that anyone's going to argue that, for instance, some of Novell's new products have features that don't provide enhanced reliability. Like, if you look at Linux Desktop, for instance, Novell's implementation of OpenOffice compared to reliability levels in OpenOffice 2 or 3 years ago is quite different now than it was back then. I think another good example of this would be plain old network and internet access. If you compare that to what it was 10 years ago, how often was your network or internet access down 10 years ago compared to today? You wouldn't have tolerated what you had 10 years ago, so why should you tolerate that in IT? I think that that's why everyone is working so hard on reliability, from Microsoft to SAP to Novell to HP.
Brings up an interesting point that IT really goes beyond just what you do in the office now to reliability at home and making sure your PCs and your internet's up. I think people expect more from that environment. Now, John, are you seeing the same thing from a partner perspective?
Yeah, we've seen this change as well. We've been in business now 14 years, focused on small to mid-sized businesses. Over the years, we've seen that there's been an increased focus on reliability and stability right from Windows Server through Windows XP and now with Windows Vista. No matter how big the business is or how small they are, they depend on their computers. And IT is such a central part of how they do business that they need their uptime 100% all the time.
Right. So it doesn't really matter what size company, whether it's a small company or a large company, reliability is really key across any size business.
Exactly. This is something they depend on. They need their computers to be there for them.
Now, Warren, is there a standard way for businesses to evaluate the reliability of different platforms?
That's an interesting question to ask, because currently there's no definition of reliability that enjoys industry-wide consensus. So everybody takes a different approach to it, and everyone has different metrics. Furthermore, the test conditions under which many reliability evaluations are carried out often influences the result. So a network uptime comparison in these studies is something like server performance benchmarking, in that you have to take things with a grain of salt and understand that real-world performance can be quite different from test results. And actually, speaking of the real world, we ourselves, the Strategic Council, have done some surveys dating back to like 2005, 2006, that find that businesses perceive Linux and Microsoft as technology platforms to be equally reliable and secure. So that's a real world perception. But as an IT manager, you want to augment what you can learn from tests like these or survey perceptions like that and from peer perception.
Would it also be safe to say that it's not just about the technology, but some of it also has to be a little bit around process and people?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, John, kind of what are your thoughts on that again from sort of the partner perspective?
Yeah, I agree with Warren. As a technology partner, we work with our customers to think beyond just network uptime and to examine everything that goes into reliability across an organization and its users.
So, for example, if you're thinking of building an open source stack, a high degree of variability exists in open source code maturity relative to proprietary software. Like open source projects often lack formal testing standards and procedures. And if you're going to do that, you'd have to handle things like the responsibility of testing code functionality, quality of service stability, performance and scalability on your own on an ad hoc basis. You can compare that to a vendor like Microsoft or Novell in a proprietary situation. So Microsoft, for instance, has a framework and products. They've got resources and programs to, one, help developers build more reliable applications that drive good end-user experiences, and, two, that help IT professionals manage and maintain more reliable networked environments more efficiently and with less effort. Novell also has efforts along the same vein, although right now I think their focus would be more on building manageability into the Linux stack. But in the end, these efforts are good for everyone. Now, what IT managers have to do in this sort of situation is do their homework to make sure they're getting the most they can out of vendors to help them address all these aspects of reliability today, which goes across everything from stability, uptime, end user needs and experience, and the effort that they need to put into network maintenance and support to maintain reliable systems.
Now, Jeff, can you tell us a little bit about the environment at Homestead Christian Care?
Sure. Warren, your point about going beyond stability of the platform and really examining the experience of the end user, network maintenance and support, that really connects with my experience at Homestead Christian Care. Homestead Christian Care is a small nonprofit charity providing supportive housing to people with mental illness. We currently have about 140 residents and 35 staff, and we operate in four different facilities and in two different cities in southern Ontario. So that creates some challenges for IT and for connection and networking being in different cities and such.
Can you tell me a little bit about some of the IT challenges that you were facing?
As a nonprofit charity, we were primarily concerned with the initial costs of our software. So for several years, we actually relied on Red Hat and Gen 2 Linux platforms to run our primary application servers and terminals for staff and residents. And we also used OpenOffice as our office package. As we grew from a very small organization to a little bit bigger, moving from a couple of staff to 35 staff, we found that the administration and ease of the Linux-based system was resulting in a lot of downtime and increased costs and increased need for training. For example, if we had to switch a mouse or a keyboard or deal with a monitor malfunction, we had to call in a third-party tech support, which actually increased our costs and often resulted in significant downtime for the users.
And finally, what about some of the collaboration challenges? You talked a little bit about technology, but what about collaboration and users?
Collaboration was difficult. OpenOffice didn't have some of the productivity features found in Microsoft Office. Things like setting up meetings had to be done manually. One of the biggest challenges we faced on an ongoing basis was converting documents. Before we could send them off, we had to convert them into a file that other people could read. And in one particularly embarrassing time, I was doing a fundraising and promotion event, and my presentation, actually all the bullets got turned into dollar signs. That was obviously not acceptable. So although we never actually had very many major crashes with the system, the end user, the network management, and the IT support challenges and training really forced us to have to look at other IT platforms.
I think that brings up kind of an interesting point around reliability and having to think of maybe a little bit beyond just are the systems up, but in that collaboration example, you want to be able to reliably share documents or schedule meetings. That really kind of just expands that definition. John, can you tell us how Cricky Computer Services got involved?
Sure. Homestead came to us. We've had a relationship with them in the past, and they came to us saying, we have some issues here. So we're a Microsoft small business specialist. We came in, sat down with them, went over what their pain points were, looked at their current solution, and then came up with a solution for them. They wanted a solution that was easier to manage, and it would help eliminate their issues that they had with downtime and lost productivity. Based on their needs, we recommended that Homestead migrate to Microsoft Small Business Server 2003. We went with the premium edition. This included a great bundle of features which were useful to them. For example, in the premium edition, you get Windows Server. You also get Exchange Server for email, SQL Server, ISA Server as a firewall, front page for managing your website, and a whole lot more. And this is a great bundle. Separately, if you had to buy all these components, you would pay about $6,000. And this bundle is around $1,800. So it's a great value. Small businesses have the same IT needs as big business, but they don't have the same kind of budget. This particular bundle is great for small business. We also installed an additional Windows server, enabling the company to take advantage of Terminal Server, which let the remote users connect to the Hamilton office via virtual private network.
So really, you've taken Small Business Server, providing all of the features, all of the bundling that makes sense for a small business, and giving them all of the same functionality that a large business would be using for a significantly lower cost.
Exactly. And it was a great solution for them, as you hear.
Excellent. Now, Jeff, can you discuss some of the benefits that you saw in making the switch?
Yes, based on our experience, we learned that Linux is not without its merits, but the inability of our staff to carry out fixes in a timely fashion was a challenge. With Small Business Server 2003 and Windows Server 2003, Homestead Christian Care now has a more stable platform that has greatly reduced the need for outside assistance. We're a small organization. We don't have an on-site IT person. With Linux, one of the options we're looking at is hiring a part-time on-site IT person for minor changes and staff training. I'm not an IT professional, but I can easily add a new email account or update the content on our website or engage in other routine tasks without putting our uptime at risk. We've also been able to cut our IT cost support by about 70%, which has freed up more funds for charitable activities. Our end user productivity has gone up. Employees don't have to wait for IT support to carry out simple fixes, and they no longer have to spend time reformatting documents. In addition, with Terminal Server, our staff can stay in touch with the office via their laptops and ensure they have constant access to critical data. And that's from different locations, and some of our staff work from home and on the road, and so that's particularly helpful for us. And a big one over the long time is our staff technology training costs have nearly been eliminated due to the fact that Windows is well known.
So it sounds like very easy to get people that can come in if you do need help to support that environment, and your productivity to your end users as well as the costs have been greatly improved. Now, Warren, what do IT managers need to think about when evaluating IT systems for reliability?
This is becoming a rather complicated decision with the range of viable IT platforms that people have to choose from today. So IT managers need to go beyond whatever hype there is behind whichever platform and look at IT systems holistically. In our studies, a big driver of Linux's growth has been strong IT decision-maker identification in SMB, with Linux as a low-cost alternative to Windows Server. And you know, I think we heard some of that brought up today. But on the other hand, Windows Server has always been strongly perceived to be more manageable and easier to use. So this suggests that while perception of lower cost can drive adoption of one platform, perception of better manageability and ease of use can also drive adoption, but actually in a much greater volume for Windows Server in particular. Now, when selecting an operating system, I think that IT managers should consider how a platform decision is going to affect things like the following. One, applications availability. If you want to think of this in real-world evaluation terms, are the applications used by the company and or its customers available on the platforms under consideration? Two, tools availability. Are the tools used by the company to manage its IT infrastructure and applications available on the platforms that it's considering? And three, end-user acceptance. That is, whatever potential difficulties and costs you could find in migrating users to a new platform, you should take those into consideration, regardless of whether the platform is open source or is supplied by a proprietary software vendor.
Now, you've raised some interesting points around application availability, tools availability, as well as end-user acceptance. What about IT support? Is that something that managers also need to think about?
Yeah. Actually, it's really good that you brought that up, because IT managers definitely also need to think about things like support availability, because, you know, for sure, Windows Server is by far the most deployed platform in the SMB space. So IT support providers are going to logically tend to be focused on Windows, though if you look at the agreement with Novell, I have to say that Microsoft actually appears headed towards helping increase the availability of Linux support. You also got to look at things like support contract and maintenance implications. Services support and software maintenance contracts need to be factored into your platform decisions for both Linux and Windows Server. Just because it's Linux doesn't mean it doesn't need support and maintenance.
Now, Jeff, based on your experience at Homestead, how important is it for customers to examine support costs as they're looking at different platforms?
I think this is the area where we failed to look at more carefully when we initially were looking at platforms, and we learned our lesson. On the surface, we thought Linux would save us money. Initially, perhaps it did, but over the long term, the costs just kept adding up. The support costs, the training costs, the downtime because of minor things like changing a monitor.
Warren, how does skill set affect reliability?
Jeff was just talking about that, I think, in the last point, that another thing that you definitely need to remember is skill set availability, because Linux and Windows Server skill sets aren't generally transferable, and they tend to reside in different individuals. So if you want to try applying Windows Server skills in a predominantly Linux environment, that's not typically going to be successful, and vice versa.
So it really boils back to reliability isn't just about the software and the technology, it's also a little bit about how it gets implemented and the people managing it. Thanks so much, Warren, Jeffrey, and John, for taking the time to share your experience and knowledge with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Let us know what you thought of this episode by posting a comment at microsoft.ca/ITpodcast, where you'll also find supplementary resources and other podcast episodes. Join us again next month for a defense in depth look at security. A panel of experts, including Brian Bourne, CMS Consulting, Rob LeBay, Application Consulting and Engineering from Microsoft Canada, and Bruce Cowper, also of Microsoft Canada, will discuss the top reasons why security policies fail, as well as application layer security and incident response planning. Thanks for listening.